For WAMC News, I'm Jim Lavoulis. Every so often, we check in with economist Hugh Johnson, chairman and chief investment officer of Hugh Johnson Advisors in Albany. With more sectors of the economy reopening from coronavirus shutdowns, but cases rising in many states, Johnson has released his latest market outlook. Well, Hugh, you state in your outlook that the bull market of 2009 to 2019 ended. It was then followed by a short bear market, and we are now in a new bull market and economic recovery. What leads you to believe that?
Well, there are a lot of things that lead me to believe it. I think right at the top of the list, though, is you look very carefully at the performance of the financial markets collectively. And I mean not just the fact that since really late March, the stock market has been up about 45%. But also you look at what investors are doing. They're buying the so-called bull market sectors. You see things like technology, consumer discretionary, basic materials, industrial stocks are at the top of the list. And the defensive sectors, the ones that investors really buy only in a bear market, utilities and consumer staples, they're at the bottom of the list. So sector performance, you see that mid-cap stocks, small-cap stocks are performing very well. And then you move to the sort of monetary and economic numbers. You see all the stimulus that we're getting from the Federal Reserve and the federal government in Washington. That's leading to some real significant increases in bank lending and money growth. And then the leading indicators for the economy, leading indicators just tell us where we're going now, where we've been, have been basically turning the corner and pointing higher. So markets are saying we're in a bull market, and it's confirmed by important monetary and economic variables. And I think you put those two together and you come away with a fairly positive feeling about what lies ahead, both for the markets and the economy in particular.
You mentioned Wall Street's rebound. The NASDAQ specifically has hit record highs recently. Since the NASDAQ is made up of mostly technology companies, what does that tell you about the technology sector and the resilience of the U.S. economy?
It tells you probably not a whole lot more than the fact that things have changed for technology. And when I say things have changed for technology, I really mean things have changed for the better. It's not just hardware that really drives technology anymore. Technology is a story really about software and security and the cloud and a lot of different companies. They're not only as the business has changed for technology companies are different, but they're executing very well, meaning they're becoming very, very profitable. And in addition to becoming very profitable, they're obviously, as a result of that, building some very formidable fortress-like balance sheets. They've got lots of cash. They've got very strong balance sheets. You know, it's basically that technology is different than it used to be, and so you really can't look at it in the same way. I keep talking about the fact if you're looking for companies that are doing more with fewer people, that are, because we're becoming much less labor-intensive, just look at the names at the top of the list. Take a look at Microsoft. Amazon's a retailer, but I understand, but it's really driven a lot by technology. Facebook, take a look at Alphabet, take a look at Apple. You see those companies are doing more with fewer. They're really benefiting from a less labor-intensive, more knowledge-driven economy, and it shows up in their balance sheet, their income statements. It's really different. And I think that's why they're performing so well. Everybody sees things are changing. Technology isn't what it once was.
The federal government and the Federal Reserve have been spending or providing trillions of dollars in stimulus efforts. As you state in your outlook, the Congressional Budget Office projects the federal deficit will increase to $3.7 trillion, or 18% of GDP, and nearly $3 trillion increase versus last year. What are the projected impacts of this deficit?
That's a big question, and the deficit's getting very high, and will get substantial. And the question, what happens, what do we do about it? When it gets that high, sooner or later, you have to, I hate to use the expression, pay the piper. We have to do something to get the deficits down to more rational levels. Any household knows that. If our debt levels in a household get too high, we have to do something, increase our revenues, reduce our spending, do something to get deficits back down to levels that are, let's just say, more manageable. So sooner or later, that's one of the problems. And sooner or later, what that means is a combination of higher taxes and less spending. Now, there may be a change in administrations that comes at the end of this year. We don't know the answer there. But even if there is a change in administrations, ordinarily, what we've seen historically, when you get deficits that are over 5% of the economy, it ordinarily invites some combination of an increase in taxes and a reduction in spending. I don't think a reduction in spending is on the horizon anytime soon. So I think we're really talking about some increase in taxes, maybe 2021 or late 2021 and effective in 2022. And that would not be good news for the stock market. Historically, it has not been good news. We saw that in 1938. We saw that in 1946 when the Second World War ended. We saw it also in 1982, although the rollback in the tax cuts of the Reagan administration weren't all that substantial. So we've seen it in the past, and it's not now generally not good news for the stock market and the economy. But that's a bit into our future, and I don't think it's something that investors or business people should be caught up in. Maybe thinking about it as something on the horizon, but don't get caught up in it thinking about it right now, at least in my judgment. It's a little bit too soon for that, but don't take your eyes off it.
And now a number that a lot of people do look at when it does come out, what is your outlook for the unemployment rate over the next couple of years?
That's a really good question also. I think things are on the mend, and I mean they're on the mend. I think that we had a big surge or recovery in the months of May and June from the abysmal numbers we saw in March and April. Things are going to slow down because obviously there's really deepening concerns about the resurgence of coronavirus throughout the United States, particularly California, Texas, Florida, southern states, western states. And that's going to slow the recovery, slow the reopening. One question that I often get is it going to derail the opening? Are we going to go back to March and April? And I think the answer from the markets is no, we're not going to go back that far, but there's no question things are going to slow down from here. So we'll see a big surge in the economy in the third quarter. We'll see it slow a little bit in the fourth quarter. But I think we're looking at positive numbers as we move through the remainder of this year, 2020 and 2021. What does it mean for the unemployment rate? The unemployment rate got up to as high as 14.7% from 3.5%. Boy, that's a big number, 14.7. It's going to get better, down to, I think, 10.3% as we end this year. 9.1, I think, is my projection for 2021 and 7.5 for 2022. So we're going to be on the mend, but once again, things are going to slow down. They're going to get better. They're going to slow down. The unemployment rate will come down. And we'll start to recover some jobs as we move through the remainder of 2020 and 2021. But when we look back at this year as a whole, it's still going to be that deep hole we dug in March and April. And we won't get out from that hole, but we'll be headed in the right direction. So I think it's a positive forecast within the context of something that really was pretty miserable for the month of March and April as we locked down the U.S. economy.
And I almost always ask you this. So with all of this information that we've spoken about, what is your advice for investors?
Yeah, another good question. Look, there's no question I have a positive outlook for the economy and earnings, and I think stock prices, although I think stock prices may be a little bit ahead of themselves as a guess. We've come very far, very fast, up 45% since March. Just common sense alone says, you know, maybe there'll be a little bit of a pullback here somewhere, but I don't think it'll be all that significant. I think interest rates are going to stay pretty much at the current level. The Federal Reserve is not going to change interest rates, which really means that we'll be able to support stock prices around current valuations, generally speaking. There'll be some give-ups, as I say, along the way. So that's the good news, and it'll all depend on earnings, and I think earnings will get better in 2021, and the markets will reflect that and go higher. But there's no question. Jim. This is an equity market, a stock market environment that's full of a lot of risk. So, what I would tell investors is don't bet the ranch on a forecast by me or anybody else. I'd say keep a modest exposure to equities. I think equities will be okay, but I again wouldn't bet the ranch. Don't get a big exposure to equities and maybe own some defensive stocks in your portfolio, things that pay good dividends. Dividends really count when things are not crystal clear and great. So it's a bull market. I think a positive market. I think you can expose yourself or buy equities or own equities, but don't bet the ranch and make sure you got a little defense in your portfolio and wait for the clouds to clear. And I think that'll happen probably when we get to 2022. But, you know, just recognize a bull market with a lot of risk.
And was there a jump in people pulling their money, specifically those near retirement age, as Wall Street began to tank because of pandemic shutdowns?
You know, it's a really surprising thing that the one thing that we have not seen, and it sort of leads me to be a little bit more optimistic, is we have not seen a lot of pessimism show up in the markets. Quite frankly, not a lot of pessimism, almost no pessimism. And investors have really not lost their faith in the markets. I don't know why that is, but that is the case. And so that's, I think you have to look at that as being on the promising side of things. As soon as investors become too optimistic, that's a time to jump ship. And when they become too pessimistic, that's probably time to buy. And we're probably closer to the lower end of things. So I don't think there's anything in the so-called sentiment numbers among investors that says to me that we should exercise even more caution. No, I think this is one of the surprising things. Investors have not lost their faith. They become shaky. There's no question about it. I've had a lot of calls from a lot of clients that want to reduce their allocation equities, and we've done so. But for the most part, I think everybody stayed fairly calm and held tight. So,
very interesting. Stayed calm there, even though maybe they didn't stay calm in the grocery store lines.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
Hugh Johnson is the Chairman and Chief Investment Officer of Hugh Johnson Advisors in Albany. Hugh, always good to speak with you.
Jim, it's my pleasure.